This is the Ray Lucia Show.
Coming to the bat for the answers here.
The one show that helps you make better money moves. The program all about your money, your business, and your life.
You guys talk about a lot of really good information that even I can understand.
Call Ray now at 844-RAY-SHOW, 844-RAY-SHOW. This is the Ray Lucia Show.
Thank you very much, and welcome to the Ray Lucia Show, the one talk show in America that helps you make better money moves. The program all about your money, your business, and your life. It's interesting, Johnny Dean's in the house. We haven't had very many business owner callers lately.
Yeah, nor emailers. I don't know what that means, that maybe business owners feel, you know, and what surprises me is because you have some of these new business deductions, pass-through entities that we've only had for about a year or so.
And most CPAs still haven't even figured it out, to be honest with you. I am struggling with it myself, to be honest with you. I think it's a very complex. I think the Republicans did a really bad job. I mean, it could have been so simple, but it just goes to show you how, whether it's special interest or something gets into a tax bill at the end. I know a guy that did some advising on this Trump tax bill, and I like it. I mean, I think it's really good for many, not all, but for many Americans. But I was talking to him. He's a friend of mine and an associate, and he said early on in the game they wanted to have a 1-year depreciation schedule, write off real estate in 1 year. You buy a building.
And you
it's a $20 million building.
And you depreciate the entire thing
down
in 1 year?
The structure cost. $5 million a land.
No, I know.
There's $15 million in structure. Yeah. You get a $15 million write-off. And he went to the powers that be, I don't know if it's Brady or whomever, and he said, do you want to create another nationwide real estate crisis in America? You're going to have everybody and their brother developing buildings to get the stupid tax deduction.
Please tell me. These people don't know what they're doing. All right, let's just start with that. But okay, all right. You do have that. The only thing that I hope is that TurboTax knows what it's doing.
No, TurboTax does.
So that's what I'm going to rely on.
And the tax programs. Anyway, we I don't know why we got off on that tangent, but we've got a lot of stuff to talk about.
Business owners, that's why.
Yeah, business owners, we want you. We want you to email us. We want you to call us because we have some valuable information that you may or may not know about, especially in the field of retirement. It's changed a lot. See, back in the day, just for the sake of discussion, and we'll get to the topic here in a second, but did you or I bring up the business owner thing?
Well, you said that we haven't heard from as many business owners as we used to. It's your fault.
So we're off on this tangent, but it's critically important. Back when I was growing up in the business, I'm now retired from it, but back when I was growing up in the business, say in the 80s, we used to do staff leasing plans that would take the onus off of the employer. Usually it was like a doctor. And the doctor then could set up what we called defined benefit plans without regard for having to fund for their older employees and bust the whole thing. And the staff leasing solved the problem because the doctor could have the staff leasing company put in a 401k plan. And that kind of blew up in some respects. Now, there are a lot of these so-called PEOs today that do that, but the pension laws still remain non-discriminatory, although there are some different safe harbor rules and so forth. Well, all of a sudden, what we found for small business owners that don't have a lot of employees, we have found that there are now ways to do what are called cash balance plans, where you can set up a retirement plan, and if you're older, and most of us that own our own businesses are, and if you make more money than your employees, I'm one of the few that doesn't make more than my employees, but if you happen to be in that category, you may be able to design a retirement plan that gives you a significantly bigger income tax deduction and more money in a retirement plan, certainly significantly more on a relative basis than your employees. So now this kind of more level 2 tax planning, retirement planning strategies for pre-retirees, that own their own company far more exciting today. So you may want to contact us. But I start today.
Well, you're saying there's a way for business owners to potentially save more for themselves.
That's why you need to call or email me, because in about 10 seconds, you tell me what your company's like, and I can tell you whether or not there's the likelihood that a really good actuary could get together with you and save you a bundle of money. How's
yes.
that?
Yes. Now, I should say these are opportunities that really didn't exist that long ago.
Well, they
I mean,
did,
the number of years
they,
ago.
They,
but there were other strategies that were, at the time, seemed better.
With the advent of inflation adjusting and so forth, the strategies have gotten better. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. That's
they've existed, but not everybody knew about them. Let's just say that.
All right. You're a business owner. Right. Give us a call or contact us, and we'll tell you more.
Now,
about it.
My emails went off the hook. Last week, we talked about the value a financial advisor, a best practices financial advisor, could bring to the table. And I'm thinking a couple of people are listening. What do they care about, you know, some of the studies? But my emails went off the hook.
Now, meaning like a phone used to ring off the hook.
Right.
This means that you got, I love that. I don't know.
Well, it's an analogy that us older people can identify with.
People today don't even know what a hook on a phone is. Ring off the hook. What does that mean? I just pick it up.
My emails went off the freaking hook.
There you go.
Folks.
Yes. Surprising.
So I just want to quote a couple of these items to help others, because if you want the information, I will send it to you just as soon as Johnny Dean proofs
finishes
and edits.
Proof. Yeah, yeah.
All right? I didn't expect that many, so you better make some serious ones. It's an e-book.
Yeah, it's an
e-book.
It's
not really a booklet.
It's something you can download. It's something we're going to make available. I got to finish it, just run through compliance as we always do, and then at that point it'll be ready.
Yeah, so I'll talk about this, but the first thing that I discuss, one of the first things I discuss, is the power of working longer. Sit back, folks. Relax. It is the Ray program. Hit it, boys. There. How much time do I have?
That's surprising that we got there that late.
I know.
But we got about 3 minutes.
Okay, perfect. So there was an academic study that was done called The Power of Working Longer. I'm quoting from the booklet. It was recently cited in the New York Times, and it found that working just 3 to 6 months longer can raise your retirement income by as much as increasing your savings by 1% every year for the last 30 years.
In other words,
wow.
In other words, it has the same effect.
Yes.
So I say I'm going to retire on, you know, June 30th of whatever this year.
Right.
But if I decide that I'm going to keep working, if I decide to work till the end of the year, let's say, through right. the end of December and retire January 1st of next year, the amount of money that I'm going to have, assuming I have a 401k maybe, and you know, and the extra income that I get from that.
And the Social Security.
And the Social Security, right, exactly. Let's say I'm old, I'm at least that age. That will have the same effect as if 30 years ago I increased my savings by 1% every year.
That's exactly correct. And so when so many people are depressed about their ability to retire, and so many people are caught up in the Teresa Gilhar-Duchy or whatever her name is from the Boston Center for Retirement Research. Every time I read one of her papers, I want to like shoot myself because it's so negative, the retirement crisis. But there doesn't have to be a retirement crisis for most of us, because most of us can afford to cut back a little bit, can afford to save more. But every one of us can postpone retirement for 6 months, a year, 2 years. If 6 months gets you 1%, they didn't tell me in this study here how much 2 years or four years would get you. But I'll bet you it's quite a bit of extra income.
I would think so. It doesn't even have to be that long. It could be a year instead of 6 months.
So we were short on time, and I apologize for that. But when we come back from the break, I will read you an excerpt from the booklet called Best Practices Financial Advisors.
Oddly enough,
that's a clever title. I should have a tagline that goes with that. What you need to know before you do business with one. Or how to evaluate the performance of your financial planner or something like that.
Yeah, this really tells you what to look for in a financial advisor. And,
yeah.
And the best practices part is actually a definition of a type. That did Vanguard, who invented that?
I invented the term, but I stole it from a study that was done way back in 2001 by Vanguard.
That's what it was. The term wasn't in the Vanguard study, but the idea was.
It might have been.
Well, I didn't see it.
But I stole it. I guarantee you I didn't come up with it.
Okay,
right?
There you go. There you go.
Right?
All right.
Is that enough disclaimer?
Yeah, but it doesn't matter because the idea is still there.
The idea is still there.
Right.
Stick around, folks. We'll talk more about it when we come back. A comparison of retirement strategies and financial planner value. That's next on The Ray Lucia Show.
Business owner, want to be preneur, or just looking to manage your assets? You found the right place. Biz Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome back, folks. This is The Ray Lucia Show. We're talking about best practices. I kind of brought this up a week ago, and I offered to send some of my unedited work, and John Dean said, no. You can't be sending run-on sentences to these fine folks. So he's editing it.
Well,
and for those that did email me, we'll get it out in the next week or so.
Even you know, Michael Fink and who's the other one on here? Terrence Martin Jr. and Wade Fowle, even they don't, you know, send anything out without at least having somebody proof
okay.
it. So that's why.
I do want to talk about this because in this booklet, we'll call it, I've done lots of research on this subject because I'm asked all the time to speak in front of advisory groups. And one of the things they ask me about is, how do you become more successful as a financial planner? And I say, you got to do stuff that the other planners aren't doing, like best practices. And you need to be willing to follow some kind of a course of action known as best practice, doing the best thing you can for your client. And it's not just, you know, this whole fiduciary rule that's been batted around for the last few years. It really needs to focus on strategy. So the journal Financial Planning came out with a research report. It's called A Comparison of Retirement Strategies and Financial Planner Value. And I want John to read from the booklet, if you will.
All right, I'll read this. You just make some comments along the way, because I know it's sort of lengthy. We're not going to read the whole thing. We'll give you the couple of paragraphs.
All right, that's good.
Few academic studies estimate the value provided by a comprehensive financial planner. Using a special retirement module from a nationally representative longitudinal data set.
You want me to explain how that works? I'm not going to.
No, don't.
No, I'm not going
to. No. All right. We were able to differentiate between households who used a financial planner and did not estimate retirement needs from those who were more likely to have received a comprehensive plan that included a retirement needs calculation. We were also able to estimate the potential benefits of using a financial planner compared to a self-directed retirement planning strategy.
Okay, so where are we? We're talking about two different kinds of advisors. One that focuses on strategy, and the other one that doesn't. This is really fascinating stuff. Go ahead.
Results indicate consistent evidence that a retirement planning strategy and the use of a financial planner can have a sizable impact on retirement savings. Those who had calculated retirement needs and used a financial planner, which, by the way, likely captures those who used a comprehensive planner, who follows a more thorough planning process that includes retirement needs assessment, those generated more than 50% greater savings than those who estimated retirement needs on their own without the help of a planner. Those who relied on a planner whose advice was not comprehensive enough to include the estimation of retirement needs had half as much saved for retirement.
Okay, so this is critically important because what they're saying is there's a big difference in the advice that you get. Those that focus on comprehensive financial planning as opposed to, can I say this, product peddling, the results are significantly better. Significantly better. Go ahead.
All right. I had a question, but I'll go ahead. They had nearly half as much saved for retirement, as I said. In the multivariate analysis that controlled for the higher education and income of those who used a comprehensive planner, we still found a strong and consistent relation between a comprehensive planning strategy and higher retirement savings and change in retirement savings between 2004 and 2008. We also noted that those who used a non-comprehensive planner consistently saved less than those who estimated retirement savings needs on their own. Now, my question, you don't even have to address it, would be, who would want a planner that doesn't tell them about their retirement needs? But okay.
Well, I mean, it is an obvious question, but there are a whole lot of them that don't, because...
But what are they doing?
They sell like commodities. I mean, they find a product. The products today, I will tell you, whether they're in the insurance field or the investment field, ETFs, life insurance policies, they're all pretty darn good. So you focus on the product and then go in search of someone to shove it down their throat. I'm being a little bit facetious there, but instead of in search of a customer, a client, you do a needs-based analysis and then go in search for a solution. And that's what a comprehensive planner does. If you find an individual and you do a needs analysis, you will have to focus on how much they're saving, because you can't give them a solution if you don't know what the problem is.
If I'm selling anything, I don't care what it is, I sell shovels, I'll go back to this. Am I going to spend all my time looking for people who need to dig holes? Am I going to find everybody and tell them your shovel will solve all your problems? Or am I going to wait until somebody comes to me and says, I've got these certain needs, and I'll say, well, let me see if I can find a solution. You don't need a shovel. You need a backhoe. You need a hammer. Whatever, right? That's more like a comprehensive financial planner.
Yeah, let me just finish off on this study, if I may. Weingarten, which is a Weingarten Associates, a big planning firm, said this about that very study, John. Quote, this study is meaningful in that it followed a group of people for many decades and shows that for those who use a professional financial planner, there is significant value. Second, and this is what I wanted to make sure we made the point. Second, the onus is on the client to understand the difference between a comprehensive financial planner and an advisor who is merely trying to sell products. So what they're saying is it is your responsibility to evaluate your financial advisor to find out if they're going to take a comprehensive approach. Now, this is just one of many, many studies that I quote in this best practices piece. I don't want to give the whole thing away, but for those that are interested, like I said, within the next week or two, we should have this thing done and ready for, I don't want to say publication because I'm not going to publish it. I'm only going to give it to people that I care about.
The question, of course, comes up is, and I think this, by the way, that you're giving away answers it, which is, how am I supposed to know whether or not this person sitting across from me that I've hired or I'm interviewing to do financial planning, how do I know that they're not just there? I mean, it seems like they're working in my best interest, but I may not know what questions to ask. I may not know what constitutes a comprehensive financial planner or best practice. This is why this actually tells you what to look for.
It does indeed, and we'll be covering many aspects of this over the course of time. We can't cover them all because, you know, this is probably a 3-day course. Ooh, there's an idea. I just came up with a really good idea. How much do you think I could charge these dudes?
Which dudes?
You're talking dudes about or dudettes that want to learn how to be comprehensive financial advisors.
So the advisors, I thought you meant people.
You know, there is an issue. And as you know, I've trained literally thousands of financial advisors over the course of a year in a very narrow 1-hour, 2-hour session.
Right.
Unfortunately, people don't remember this stuff. It needs to become a habit. They need to do it every single day with every single client. Anyway, we'll talk more about this, but when we come back, roll 'em, roll 'em, roll 'em, rollovers. That's next on The Ray Program.
Does your water stain and damage?
This is BizTalk Radio.
Keep listening to this station or take us on the go by downloading our free smartphone app, BizTalk Radio.
Hey, welcome back, folks. This is the Ray Lucia Show. I'm telling you, the boys in the back room, they're paying attention to the show, aren't they?
Well, they really are. I laid odds that they weren't, but they really are. This is the original. This is the actual TV show theme. I always think in terms of the Blues Brothers version, but that's okay.
I love the Blues Brothers. That movie was one of the best ever.
Yes, the original we're talking about.
The original Blues Brothers movie, yeah.
Which is now almost 40 years old.
Is it that old?
Well, it's 1980. Wow. And 81.
That means
80.
The Penguins probably not even around anymore.
I don't think so. Even one of the Blues Brothers isn't around anymore.
Ray Charles isn't for sure.
Nah, he's gone. Ray's Music Emporium.
Wow, fantastic. Yeah.
But anyway, so I look forward in the theater in the next year as a comeback.
I wanted to talk a little bit about rollovers. We seem to get a lot of questions. I haven't looked at the emails today, but we seem to get a lot of questions almost on a daily basis about rollovers. Now, there are a couple of things that I believe I'm sure you know already about the 10% penalty and all that stuff, right?
You mean as far as taking money out of
let's
say, a
401k,
qualified plan, or IRA before you're 59 and a half, 10% penalty on that amount?
Just about everybody knows that. So in doing a little bit of research for this SEGI, here's what I learned. 58% of IRA-owning households had rollover assets in their IRA, and 84% rolled over their entire account balances to an IRA.
In other words, what they did, for people that don't even know what a rollover is, you had a 401k at a company, you took it out of that, you left the company or whatever, you rolled that entire sum or a portion of it into an IRA. You did it, no taxes, it's just a direct rollover, and you've now got money inside the IRA that came from a 401k.
Now, many of the pundits say it is a taboo thing to take money out of your old, maybe you changed employers, take money out of the old 401k and roll it into your own IRA because, of course, you're an idiot when it comes to investing. And your employer's 401k target date fund can do it significantly better than you can do it because you're an idiot. Isn't that what they say?
They don't say it in those words, but the implication is that, yes, you're stupid to do it because you don't know what you're doing.
Now, when we talk about investment options, now there are some 401k plans that give you a brokerage option. I don't like them because in many cases you are an idiot. Sorry.
Not you watching the show.
But people that trade.
Yes.
I will give you two names, Terrence O'Dean and Brad Barber. Look it up. You will find out that they looked at those who traded in their accounts, and they determined that trading was hazardous to your wealth. And they not only coined that, they did a whole study titled that. So you can look that up. So I don't like, and by the way, those brokerage accounts inside 401ks are usually expensive, but the real expense comes from doing foolish trading. Now, that doesn't mean that I am not in favor of doing a rollover. For those that get good advice, I think a rollover can make a lot of sense if you do it right, because a rollover gives you a full array of investment options. The 401k has a bunch of mutual funds, and many of those mutual funds, although they're becoming less and less costly because 401k companies are getting sued left and right because of the cost of them, but that's not the point. You don't just make decisions based on fees. You make decisions based on strategy, and I would suggest to you that the closer you get to retirement, the more a rollover tends to make sense because you can now strategize differently. Earlier in the program, we talked about other income sources, didn't we? Was that this hour or was that last hour?
It was the previous hour, but yeah.
See, when you get at my age, you can't remember from 1 hour to the next.
I had to think myself briefly, but yes.
So we've discussed alternative income sources being critically important. What happens if we go into a prolonged, what they call secular bear market, and stocks don't do 8, 9, 10%. Stocks do 2, 3, 4%. And bonds do 1, 2, 3%. What would happen to all those retirement projections that you've done on the T. Rowe Price site and the Vanguard site and the Fidelity site that forecast certain rates of return? They become bunk. They are worthless. So having an income stream that is totally uncorrelated could make some sense. So rolling the money to an IRA, if you know what you're doing, you get good help. Maybe you can invest in alternative income investments. Be my guest as to what it might be. Here's what I think of. I always think of real estate because that's my fave, right? I love real estate because a couple of things happen. If you buy right and you make your money on the buy, and if you finance right, you make your money on the buy and the financing, then over time, you get to use other people's money to pay off your debt. You get to use positive leverage because your financing should be lower. Your cost to borrow should be lower than the cap rate or what you earn on the investment. That leverage means you're going to make even more money. That's what you experienced in the real estate deal we did years ago. And I don't sell real estate. That's not my bag here. But I can tell you the richest people I know have made their money in real estate. And the brokest people I know have lost all their money in real estate. How's that?
That's the caveat that you're putting out there. You said real estate. What are we talking about? What type?
Well, there's all kinds of types. I happen to love stuff like self-storage. Now, don't go out and buy it, because at the last report that I read said the entire country self-storage is overbuilt, because I'm not the only guy that loves it. So that may not be the best area. I happen to love multifamily. Don't go out and buy it, because last time I checked, if you're buying multifamily in an area like a San Diego or Los Angeles or New York, you're going to spend, the cap rates are 4%. I'm never buying anything at a 4 cap. But there are value add opportunities there. But now you need to know people. You need to be in business with individuals that can add value. Or maybe you have that talent as a contractor or whatever. So I would probably, John, be looking in the single family space, because most of the people, you know, they can maybe get $50,000 or $100,000 together to invest in real estate, not $500,000 or $1.5 million.
You say single family, just a rental property that you're going to rent out to somebody,
yeah.
A house.
Yeah. So let's say that you, I'm talking to somebody in Las Vegas, all right? And I asked him the other day about his property manager and his property, and I would love to meet this property manager. I won't give out names. But he said he's had her for many, many years. She does an outstanding job. They buy right, they finance, and he gets a check every single month when the tenant moves out. Within a couple weeks, new tenant is in, and he doesn't lift a finger. She sends him the financial reports, et cetera, et cetera. Now, if you can find a situation like that where a property manager will help you find a property, rent that property out, replace the renter, you've got ample cash in the bank. Yes, because every rent payment, a portion of it's going to go to pay down the mortgage. And if you bought at a 6 cap, that means your return on investment should be about 6%. When you add the pay down of the debt, you also are increasing the equity in the property, so you're making more money. And if the property appreciates, and they usually do, you're also making that. So you've got like 3 ways to make money. So rolling over into your own IRA can make a lot of sense. Long-winded answer.
Well, because you mentioned real estate, there are others too. We only got a minute or so, but there are other ways besides real estate. I don't know how much you want to talk about them.
We've discussed annuities. There are many different types of annuities. You've got to put your thinking caps on here, get an advisor that will shoot straight with you. But there are fixed, there are even variable annuities, those expensive ones that nobody's supposed to touch. There are some of them that are actually pretty good that don't have big fees and all that. But you need to have a really good advisor. I rely on people in that industry all the time because I have not kept up as much as I probably would have liked to if I was going to stay in the retirement business. So I rely on best practices, financial advisors all the time.
Well, as you said, with real estate, there's a chance you can make a lot of money. There's a chance you could lose a lot of money. What I think you need, of course, is time. You need a little staying power in this.
You absolutely, when you buy real estate, you need staying power. That means cash in El Banco. Golly, the segments are just going by too fast. How do
we haven't covered 20% of what we were going to cover. And we have emails. I haven't even done the emails
yet. All right,
yet.
We'll see what we get to when we come back. Right. Don't go away because it's probably going to be just as good as the last three segments, okay, or four.
I guarantee it. How's that? You got a standard to live up to now.
I do. We'll be back. Stick around. It's the Ray Lucia Show.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of
Episodes on Demand at biztalkradio.com.
Well, you know what this song is, John?
Old.
This is an old song, but it happens to be the song that I won the Battle of the Bands with. Remember when I went to Battle of the Bands?
Oh, yes, I remember that.
That would be at least 15 years ago.
Going way back.
Now, right?
Yeah.
Way back.
Yeah.
We did this song. We performed at the House of Blues in Los Angeles. It was a random thing.
Yeah.
It was the Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp.
Yes, and your, I think Jeannie, your wife, signed you up for it.
She did. It was a Christmas present. And we all got to perform two songs, one with Roger Daltrey of The Who. Of course, millennials have no idea who Daltrey is.
Yeah, some of them might.
But my age people, the guy's an icon.
Oh, sure.
So we did Mama's Got a Squeeze Box. I've told this story before. It's a great song.
I like that song.
And then we finished with this one. I put a harmonica solo in it. We won the whole thing.
Because of the harmonica solo, I might add.
Well, maybe.
I think it probably was. I think it probably was.
Maybe a little bit. Anyway, that's a great song.
Yes, it is.
The Animals. Eric Burdon and the Animals,
Eric Burdon and the Animals, yeah. It's he actually fronted the band, but everybody just calls them the Animals because that's what they were. All right. Can we shift gears? Should we get to emails?
Hit it, boys.
You've got mail.
All right, so this is from Alex. Now, this may require a little bit of a calc on your part. I don't know, Ray.
I've got my calculator. Go ahead.
Alex says, I would like to know if I can get there from here.
I love these.
I assume he means to retirement. I'm 52, okay?
All right.
I would like a retirement income at age 65 of $10,000 a month.
Oh, he's 52. Because I did see that email. I thought he was 58.
I thought you had, it says 52.
Okay, sorry. Start from scratch. So he's 50.
It says 52, right.
So he's 13 years from retirement.
Correct.
Okay, go.
I expect our Social Security to be around $50,000, and we have $580,000 in retirement savings, adding about $25,000 annually, which is pretty good. He says, if you can do anything, give me information. Thank you very much. And then he puts LYS, which if you're, he must be a longtime viewer or listener. Love your show.
Okay, so I just did the calculation. He will have, in 13 years, at 5%, because we got to be conservative here, $1,536,501. Now, he said Social Security is going to be how much?
$50,000.
And he wants how much?
He wants 10 grand a month, so $120,000 a year.
Okay. So in today's dollars, he's got $50,000 covered by Social Security. So we only have to worry about the other $50,000. So remember that number, $1,005,000 is what he's going to have.
All right.
So $50,000 today, 13 years later at 2% inflation, means he'll need $65,000 for what, 35 years? So 65 grand in payments for 35 years, call it 4%. He'll need about $1,000,002. He's going to have $1,005,000. What's his name?
Alex.
Alex, you're going to be just fine. You're doing. you'll have $300,000 left over when all is said and done.
Now, if he were 58 and he's only got 7 years or whatever,
he's probably going to be a little bit short.
Yeah,
but there are all kinds of things that Alex can do, because one of them, we talked about this earlier. One of the things he probably ought to do is postpone taking his Social Security. He'll have plenty of other monies from which to draw, and postponing the Social Security will only mean that 35 years later, the kids will end up with a greater inheritance because the Social Security benefits from 65 to 70 will be 40%-ish more. That's substantial. That's like 25 grand extra per year.
Potentially work longer if for some reason.
If he wants to.
You know, something like that. You mentioned that. All right, good. Next one.
Do we need a calculator?
For the next one?
Yeah.
You tell me. I don't know what you can do in your head anymore. Frederick. Frederick says, I'm exploring doing a Roth conversion.
Okay, cool.
I have $120,000 that I'd like to convert. All right. I have a pension of $5,000 a month and Social Security of about $4,000.
So he's married, obviously. So he doesn't have a $4,000 Social Security benefit.
Well, he can't. It's too big, even if you're 70 years old.
So he's married. He's got two socials worth about $50,000 and a pension worth about $60,000, right?
Yeah, correct.
So he's got $110,000 coming in. Does he talk about any non-qualified money or any other money that he has?
$30,000 of cash. That's all he mentions. He says, is this a good strategy?
How much was the conversion?
He wants to convert about $120,000, which is going to
bring up
his tax bill.
Sorry, Frederick. I didn't mean to say
he's not stupid.
I think the idea, whoever is talking to you, Frederick, because this doesn't sound like he made this up on his own.
No.
Whoever's talking to you does not understand taxes. All right? First off, what is your tax bracket today? You're probably still working. If you are, you're in a much higher bracket than you're going to be. He said he's got $50,000 of Social Security. So 50 times even 0.85 means he's going to pay tax on about 40 of that. And then the pension was $60,000. So his taxable income starting out is $100,000. He and his wife get $24,000 right off the top, which puts him at what, $76,000 of taxable income. So here's my suggestion. Don't do it. If you have more deductions, great. If you don't, you can probably do $3,000-$4,000 a year and stay in the 12% bracket. You're probably never going to hit the 22% bracket unless you do this conversion, because it's going to take you probably
past the 22. You're going to be in the 24
bracket. So why would you do that? You're doubling your tax bill. Whoever is telling you to do this is on weed.
If you said you're probably working, even if he's not working, I still don't see this as really. You're still adding $120,000. You're still subjecting all that Social Security to tax, 85% of it to taxation. I mean, even if he's not working, do you see the answer being any different? I mean, he is taking Social Security, apparently, so I don't know. Maybe there's a chance he's not working.
Okay,
he's at least 66.
He's not working, but
I
don't see where he gains any benefit by doing this. He can take small amounts out and either spend them or convert them in the 12% bracket. He's got some room there. So do that. You can incrementally do it. Now, if your grandson is one of Bill Gates's kids, maybe I'd do it. Because your bracket then would be lower than whoever's going to be inheriting that money. But by and large, it doesn't sound like a great strategy to me.
No. So Frederick, as Ray just said, don't do it.
Don't go there.
Don't go there, Ray. Don't go to the don't go there. Would you please?
All right. What else?
All right. You got
another
we're out of time. Jane. We'll have to get to Jane's in another hour. Out of time.
That was a good song. Mary Jane. Last Dance with Mary Jane.
We just
Tom
mentioned
Petty.
On weed is what you mentioned. Oh, we're out of time.
God bless, folks. Have a great day.
You're listening to The Ray Lucia Show, bringing you the best in money information, answering questions about your biggest financial challenges, talking about your money, your business, and your life. Ray Lucia is not a registered representative of or affiliated with any securities brokerage or investment advisory firm. The views and opinions expressed by Ray and his guests are not necessarily those of this station or its sponsors and should not be construed as legal, tax, or investment advice. You should always consult with the appropriate advisors before making...
This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk.